Thank you for joining us for the Mormon Channel Relief Society program. On the first week of each month, the Mormon Channel presents quotes and insights on the Relief Society visiting teaching message. This month, the message is entitled, Strengthening Families Through Temporal Self-Reliance. Relief Society sisters have always participated in the work of saving souls, temporally and spiritually. Each week, as the Female Relief Society of Nauvoo met, sisters reported on people in need. Donations of money, goods, talents, and time were dispersed to relieve the needy. This foundational work continues to be central to the work of Relief Society. When the saints arrived in the Salt Lake Valley, President Brigham Young counseled sisters to assist those in need and to learn skills that would allow them to take care of themselves. He said, "Learn to sustain yourselves, lay up grain and flour, and save it against a day of scarcity." Under the direction of the priesthood, Relief Society leaders plan ways to teach the principles of self-reliance, to safeguard the family, and to encourage personal righteousness and acts of charity, the pure love of Christ. Sister Sylvia H. Allred spoke about the welfare program and self-reliance in April General Conference.
Despite the rapidly changing world, welfare principles have not changed with the passing of time because they are divinely inspired, revealed truth. When members of the church and their families do everything they can to sustain themselves and still cannot meet basic needs, the church stands ready to help. Short-term needs are met immediately, and a plan to help the recipient become self-reliant is established. Self-reliance is the ability to provide the spiritual and temporal necessities of life for self and family. As we increase our own level of self-reliance, we increase our ability to help and serve others the way the Savior did. We follow the Savior's example when we minister to the needy, the sick, and the suffering. When love becomes the guiding principle in our care for others, our service to them becomes the gospel in action. It is the gospel in its finest moment. It is pure religion.
Developing self-reliance, the ability to care for ourselves and our families, is the responsibility of every sister. We become self-reliant as we learn to love work, as we seek inspiration to find the best ways to provide for ourselves, and as we work with family members to meet basic needs. When we are self-reliant, we use our blessings and resources to prepare for and avoid problems. Self-reliance, however, is enhanced as we pray for the courage to meet with faith the challenges that will surely come. Self-reliance also enables us to keep our covenant to care for others. In Relief Society, we are taught self-reliance principles and skills. Sisters can learn about budgeting, debt relief, employment qualifications, the scriptures and the gospel, teaching others to read and learn, technology, physical health, fitness, addiction prevention and recovery, social and emotional health, preventing illness, gardening, food production and storage, emergency preparedness, and many other things that will help us become self-reliant. In the Mormon message entitled Becoming Provident Providers, Elder Robert D. Hales shares a personal experience about being self-reliant.
To provide providently, we must practice the principle of provident living, joyfully living within our means, being content with what we have, avoiding excessive debt, and diligently saving and preparing for rainy day emergencies. May I share with you lessons in provident living that can help each of us. When we were newly wedded, I was in the Air Force, and we had missed Christmas together. When I got home, I saw a beautiful dress in a store window and suggested to my wife that if she liked it, we would buy it. Mary went into the dressing room of the store. After a moment, the sales clerk came out, rushed by me, returned the dress to its place in the store window. I said, "What happened?" She replied, "It was a beautiful dress, but we can't afford it." Whenever we want to experience or possess something that will impact us or our resources, we may want to ask ourselves, is this benefit temporary, or will it have eternal value and significance? Truthfully answering these questions may help us avoid excessive debt and other addictive behavior. When we are addicted, we seek those worldly possessions or physical pleasures that seem to entice us. But as a child of God, our deepest hunger and what we should be seeking for is what the Lord alone can provide: His love, His sense of worth, His security, His confidence, His hope in the future. I invite you to come unto Him and to hear His words when He said, "Wherefore do not spend money for that which is of no worth, nor your labor for that which cannot satisfy." May each of us also overcome worldly temptation by coming unto Him and becoming provident providers, both temporally and spiritually, for ourselves and others, is my humble prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
President Spencer W. Kimball further taught concerning self-reliance.
The responsibility for each person's social, emotional, spiritual, physical, or economic well-being rests upon himself, second upon his family, and third upon the church, if he is a faithful member thereof. No true Latter-day Saint, while physically or emotionally able, will voluntarily shift the burden of his own or his family's well-being to someone else.
Under the inspiration of the Lord and through our own labors, we should supply ourselves and our family with the spiritual and temporal necessities of life. We are better able to take care of ourselves and our family when we are self-reliant. We are prepared to endure times of adversity without becoming dependent on others. Let's explore the six areas in which members can become self-reliant. The first principle is education. In the Doctrine and Covenants, the Lord tells us that the glory of God is intelligence, or in other words, light and truth, and commands us to bring up our children in light and truth. By gaining an education, we develop the skills needed for suitable employment, develop talents, and learn things that increase our ability to provide for our own needs, the needs of our family, and manage our homes effectively. We can teach our children the importance of education by setting an example for them. Each of us should learn to read, write, and do basic mathematics, and then teach these skills to our children. We should study the scriptures regularly, as well as other good books, and read them with our children. President Brigham Young said, quote, "We are in a great school, and we should be diligent to learn and continue to store up the knowledge of heaven and of earth. Read good books and extract from them wisdom and understanding as much as you possibly can, aided by the Spirit of God," close quote. President Hinckley said, quote, "Get all the education you can. Cultivate skills of mind and hands. Education is the key to opportunity," close quote. You're listening to the Mormon Channel Relief Society program. Today we are exploring the visiting teaching message for June entitled Strengthening Families Through Temporal Self-Reliance. The second principle is health. Our physical bodies are sacred. The Lord has commanded members to take care of their minds and bodies. We should follow proper rules for maintaining good physical health as revealed in the Word of Wisdom. These include eating nutritious foods and avoiding harmful substances that could lead to addiction, proper rest and regular exercise, good hygiene and health care. These keep our bodies healthy and we are better able to care for our own needs and serve others. The third principle of self-reliance is employment. Work is the foundation upon which self-reliance and temporal well-being rest. In order to become self-reliant, we must be willing to work. The Lord has commanded us to work. Honorable work is a basic source of happiness, self-worth, and prosperity. In many families, a father or husband works to provide for the family's needs. Mothers are encouraged to make rearing and nurturing their children a primary responsibility. However, this is not always possible. President Gordon B. Hinckley said, quote, "Relief Society stands for education. It is the obligation of every woman of this church to get all the education she can. It will enlarge her life and increase her opportunities. It will provide her with marketable skills in case she needs them," unquote. To help family members prepare for employment, Elder Marvin J. Ashton advised, quote, "Complete as much formal, full-time education as possible. This includes the trade schools. This is money well invested. Use night school and correspondence classes to further prepare. Acquire some special skill or ability that could be used to avoid prolonged unemployment," close quote. President Thomas S. Monson said, quote, "Work is basic to all we do. God's first direction to Adam in the Garden of Eden, as recorded in scriptures, was to dress the garden and to take care of it. After the fall of Adam, God cursed the earth for Adam's sake, saying, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground." Today, many have forgotten the value of work. Some falsely believe that the highest goal in life is to achieve a condition in which one no longer needs to work. Close quote. Let us hearken to the counsel given by President Stephen L. Richards in 1939. Quote, "We have always dignified work and reproved idleness. Our books, our sermons, our leaders, including particularly our present president, have glorified industry. The basic hive of the honeybee Deseret has been our emblem. Work with faith is a cardinal point of our theological doctrine, and our future state, our heaven, is envisioned in terms of eternal progression through constant labor." Close quote. Self-reliance is a product of our work and undergirds all other welfare practices. It is an essential element in our spiritual as well as our temporal well-being. Regarding this principle, President Marion G. Romney has said, quote, "Let us work for what we need. Let us be self-reliant and independent. Salvation can be obtained on no other principle. Salvation is an individual matter, and we must work out our own salvation in temporal as well as in spiritual things." Close quote. Principle number 4 is home storage. We have been commanded, "Prepare every needful thing, so that should adversity come, we can care for ourselves, our neighbors, and support bishops as they care for others." In the pamphlet, "All is Safely Gathered In, Family Home Storage," the First Presidency gives this counsel. Quote, "We encourage members worldwide to prepare for adversity in life by having a basic supply of food and water and some money in savings. We ask that you be wise. With careful planning, you can, over time, establish a home storage supply and a financial reserve. We realize that some of you may not have financial resources or space for such storage. Some of you may be prohibited by law from storing large amounts of food. We encourage you to store as much as circumstances allow." Close quote. Connie Larson was blessed by having food storage during a challenging time.
"When my husband and I were married, we committed to try and stay out of debt and live within our means as much as possible. I learned from my mother how to save money by bottling and preserving fruits and vegetables, and I followed her example in doing this in our home. A few years ago, I learned how to make bread, and now I make almost all of the breads our family eats. We have strived to follow the commandment to store 1 year's supply of food and other essential items. In the October 1998 General Priesthood meeting, President Gordon B. Hinckley stated, 'The time has come to get our houses in order. There is a portent of stormy weather ahead, to which we had better give heed.' After this talk, my husband and I discussed what we needed to do to be better prepared. We realized we had a year's supply of some essential foods, but not of other essential items, such as soap and toothpaste. We began to purchase these items, along with emergency cooking appliances, in case there is no electricity. We also purchased sleeping bags for every member of our family. In early 2009, funding for the aerospace industry began to be eliminated where my husband was employed, and layoffs began to take place. In January of 2010, my husband was laid off from his job, and this began a 7-month ordeal of trying to find employment. During this time of unemployment, we still committed to pay tithing and fast offerings on what little money came to us during that time. We relied extensively on our food storage and financial reserves to help us through this stressful time. We learned to go without conveniences such as air conditioning, eating out, and vacations. The skills and habits we learned have been invaluable as we have had to adjust to living on a lesser income than what we had previously. I believe when we are striving to become self-sufficient, avenues will be open to help us accomplish our goals. We have a neighbor who offered us a portion of his garden to grow vegetables. We have relatives and ward members who allow us to harvest fruits and vegetables for our canning needs. Through this experience, I learned the importance of provident living and of being prepared before the crisis comes. I have also learned the value and wisdom of following the inspired leadership of the church."
President Monson said, quote, Recent surveys of church members have shown a serious erosion in the number of families who have a year's supply of life's necessities. Most members plan to do it. Too few have begun. Close quote. In the early church, Paul wrote to Timothy, "If any provide not for his own, and specially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." It is our sacred duty to care for our families, including our extended families. The fifth principle of self-reliance is finances. A message from the First Presidency regarding financial preparedness is found in the pamphlet, All is Safely Gathered In, Family Finances. Quote, "We encourage you wherever you may live in the world to prepare for adversity by looking to the condition of your finances. We urge you to be modest in your expenditures. Discipline yourselves in your purchases to avoid debt. Pay off debt as quickly as you can and free yourselves from this bondage. Save a little money regularly to gradually build a financial reserve." Close quote. The basics of family finances are pay tithes and offerings, avoid debt, use a budget, build a reserve, and educate family members. Children can learn how to use money by being included when appropriate in family financial decisions. Parents have a sacred responsibility to look after the physical and spiritual welfare of their children. As children grow older, they become more responsible for their own welfare. As parents teach them basic principles of welfare, they prepare to be self-reliant and provide for their own future families. President Thomas S. Monson said, quote, "Perhaps no counsel has been repeated more often than how to manage wisely our income. Consumer debt in some nations of the world is at staggering levels. Too many in the church have failed to avoid unnecessary debt. They have little, if any, financial reserve. The solution is to budget, to live within our means, and to save some for the future." Close quote. President J. Reuben Clark, Jr. speaks of the oppressive burden of debt. Quote, "It is the rule of our financial and economic life in all the world that interest is to be paid on borrowed money. May I say something about interest? Interest never sleeps, nor sickens, nor dies. It never goes to the hospital. It works on Sundays and holidays. It never takes a vacation. It never visits nor travels. It takes no pleasure. It is never laid off work nor discharged from employment. It never works on reduced hours. Once in debt, interest is your companion every minute of the day and night. You cannot shun it or slip away from it. You cannot dismiss it. It yields neither to entreaties, demands, or orders. And whenever you get in its way or cross its course or fail to meet its demands, it crushes you." Close quote. Elder Joseph B. Worthland warns us of becoming greedy.
One of today's evils is the sin of covetousness. Inordinate desire for material possessions can become an obsession that consumes our thoughts, drains our resources, and leads to unhappiness. Some members of the church are increasingly burdened with unnecessary debt. Because of this sin, President Heber J. Grant said, "If there is any one thing that will bring peace and contentment into the human heart and into the family, it is to live within our means. And if there is any one thing that is grinding and discouraging and disheartening, it is to have debts and obligations that one cannot meet." Close quote. From the beginning, God has commanded us to work and has warned us against idleness. Sadly, many in our world today encourage idleness, especially in the form of mindless, inane entertainment that is on the internet, on television, and in computer games.
Sister Jennifer Jamboff has learned how to keep her family on a budget.
10 years ago, my husband and I moved into our house. We were so excited to be in our own home, but we've quickly found out that owning a home was a lot more expensive than we had expected. We started budgeting so we could be sure we had enough money to pay our bills. At that time, we had 2 small children, and I found it really hard to make our income stretch to cover all our needs. We planned our budget, prayed, and went forward, determined to live within our means, and we saw many miracles happen. We often found just what we needed at yard sales or the thrift store. More than once, I have prayed to find a certain item before going to a garage sale and found just the thing. Sometimes these things were necessities, but often they were tender mercies as the Lord provided for our wants in addition to our needs. Many times people have shared hand-me-down clothing with us, and I was blessed with a desire to make and do many things myself. We saved money as I learned how to make bread and to cut hair. The good thing about starting while our boys were young is they didn't care how bad their haircuts looked. Now they're older and I do a better job. I also enjoyed sewing and repairing clothing. My attempts to do things myself weren't always a success, but the Lord magnified my efforts, and I've learned skills that help us to be more self-reliant. I know that these things have been blessings of our desire and efforts to live within our means. We have also been blessed to pay off most of our debt. The only debt we have now is for our home, and now we're working to pay it off early. I'm so grateful that we've been counseled to live within our means and for the help the Lord has given us as we have followed this counsel.
The sixth principle is spiritual strength. Spiritual strength is essential to our temporal and eternal well-being. Elder Boyd K. Packer said,
"It was meant to be that life would be a challenge, to suffer some anxiety, some depression, some disappointment, even some failure is normal. Teach our members that if they have a good miserable day once in a while or several in a row, to stand steady and face them. Things will straighten out. There is purpose in struggle in life."
Daily prayer, scripture study, and obedience to the commandments helps members grow in spiritual strength. These things, combined with attendance at church meetings and service, show faith in Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ in action and prepare us to face trials with faith. When challenges come, we can love, support, appreciate, and encourage others. By helping one another, we develop the emotional strength to overcome present and future problems. Elder L. Tom Perry speaks of the importance of becoming self-reliant.
Let us inquire what we can do for ourselves. Independence and self-reliance are critical to our spiritual and temporal growth. Whenever we get into situations which threaten our self-reliance, we will find our freedoms threatened as well. If we increase our dependence on anything or anyone except the Lord, we will find an immediate decrease in our freedom to act. As President Heber J. Grant declared, "Nothing destroys the individuality of a man, a woman, or a child so much as failure to be self-reliant." Never before in my life has the doctrine of self-reliance been more needed to be preached and encouraged for the benefit of the saints. We live in a time of rapid change. Governments are rising and falling. Industries are blooming and then all too soon become obsolete. New discoveries in science are soon overshadowed by new findings. Unless we are continuously expanding our understanding and vision, we too will become out of date. Research tells us that individuals entering the labor market today will be forced to find 3 to 5 different careers paths during their productive lives.
In evaluating our own self-reliance, Elder Joseph B. Worthland gives some advice.
In addition to helping others, families, and individual members would do well to review their own level of self-reliance. We may ask ourselves a few questions. Are we wise stewards of our money? Do we spend less than we earn? Do we avoid unnecessary debt? Do we follow the counsel of the brethren to store sufficient food, clothing, and where possible, fuel for at least a year? Do we teach our children to value and not waste what they have? Do we teach them to work? Do they understand the importance of the sacred law of tithing? Do we have sufficient education and adequate employment? Do we maintain good health by living the word of wisdom? Are we free from the adverse effects of harmful substances? If in honesty we answer no to any of these questions, we may wish to improve our self-reliance plan. Prophets have provided fundamental guides for us.
The second question posed in this month's visiting teaching message says, "How can I help my sisters and their families improve in temporal self-reliance?" As we individually become self-reliant, we're able to help others, to care for the poor and needy, and to give service. Doctrine and Covenants section 82 teaches, "And all this for the benefit of the church of the living God, that every man may improve upon his talent to be cast into the Lord's storehouse, every man seeking the interest of his neighbor and doing all things with an eye single to the glory of God. The Lord's storehouse is not limited to a building. The Lord's storehouse exists in each ward. It includes the offerings of each member of time, talents, compassion, materials, and financial means to help care for the poor and needy. Sister Beck explains that we need to teach the principles of self-reliance.
Along with the responsibility of helping the bishop look after those in need, the Relief Society takes the lead in organizing, teaching, and inspiring Relief Society sisters to become personally self-reliant. To understand their responsibilities, leaders should ask some important questions, such as, what is self-reliance? What are the personal responsibilities of every sister regarding self-reliance? How self-reliant are the sisters in my ward? What self-reliant skills do the sisters in my ward need to acquire? And how will we help one another become more self-reliant? Self-reliance means using all our blessings from Heavenly Father to care for ourselves and families and to find solutions to our own problems.
Many ward relief societies all over the church are following Sister Beck's counsel to teach the principles of self-reliance to sisters in their wards.
Not long after I was called to be our Ward Relief Society president, I was able to go into the general auxiliary training and learn from Sister Beck the importance of getting back to the basics of relief society, and also that it is not a frivolous work, as she said. We learned from President Irene at the next General Relief Society meeting that we are not in the entertainment business and that we will be given the courage to forego the frivolous and help every sister in every home to become self-reliant. And that was kind of a scary thing for us, but the path was laid out before us, and so suddenly we were involving our sisters in basic training, we called it, and we focused on self-reliance. We had some really cool classes. We had monthly gardening classes, and we held them right out in the garden with our teacher and had hands-on experience on how to plant and what to do with our gardens. We learned safe canning and freezing and drying techniques so that we could store our harvests safely for our families. And we learned how to make bread. We had a really fun night where we tried out sun oven cooking, and we had it out in the church parking lot. The food was really good, and it was fun to cook. More than 60 people came, and it was kind of a cold night, and people came anyway. We tried Dutch oven cooking, and that was really fun. One of the most important classes we had was on finances, and we invited our husbands and our teenagers, our married kids, and anybody that wanted to come to learn about debt avoidance and debt elimination and budgeting and making wills and setting up trusts, and it was really, really well attended. There were more than 70 people that came. We learned to use our crock pots and learned to cook meat and then use that meat in different ways so we could have dinner for a week. We've gone to the temple together. We've worked on communication in our families and in our marriages, and we've tied dozens of quilts for the women's shelter and the humanitarian center. One really fun evening we had, we learned to make 30 nutritious meals in a day, and that way we could save money by buying in bulk, and also we'd have things ready at a moment's notice so we could feed our family nutritious meals. We learned how to do scrap quilting and how to do some basic mending. And the sisters really enjoyed learning to refashion their clothes by adding darling embellishments that they could easily make. By doing a lot of these things, we've witnessed the blessings of following the counsel of our leaders. And we've really tried to get back to the basics. We've saved money because we did have the courage to forego the frivolous. So our decorations were always simple. Our handouts were simple, and all the usual accessories that we thought we had to have, we just didn't do, and no one missed them at all. We really tried to highlight the necessary and the essential things, and sometimes we worried that the attendance might be low for a weekday event because becoming self-reliant isn't really flashy or fun, but we always, always had tons of sisters, and they were excited to learn something that had value to them and their families. And we always had fun. That was always a byproduct of being together.
Sister Beck explains the importance of becoming self-reliant.
Preparing for ourselves and others is evidence that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. Like many of you, I have been inspired and taught principles of self-reliance by the example of my own mother and other Relief Society sisters. One such woman was my sweet mother-in-law, June, who served almost continuously in presidencies of Relief Society for over 30 years. When she passed away suddenly last year, she left evidence of her self-reliant life everywhere. She had a current temple recommend and well-used scriptures and gospel study manuals. We lovingly divided up the pots, pans, and dishes with which she had prepared thousands of delicious meals. She left us quilts she had made from old clothing. She believed in the old adage, use it up, wear it out, make it do or do without. We saw the supply of food she had grown, preserved, and stored. Particularly touching were her little account books, in which she faithfully recorded her expenditures over many years. Because she lived providently, she left some money which she had saved for emergencies, and she left no debts. Most importantly, she had taught and inspired many others with the skills she had acquired during her faithful life.
Elder Joseph B. Worthlin.
The Lord declared in a revelation to the prophet Joseph Smith, he said, "It is my purpose to provide for my saints, but it must needs be done in mine own way. And behold, this is the way that I, the Lord, have decreed to provide for my saints, that the poor shall be exalted, in that the rich are made low." Close quote. The Lord's way consists of helping people help themselves. The poor are exalted because they work for the temporary assistance they receive. They are taught correct principles, and they are able to lift themselves from poverty to self-reliance. The rich are made low because they humble themselves to give generously of their means to those in need. We teach members to be self-reliant, to do everything possible to sustain themselves, and to seek help from their families for needed assistance. When members and their families are doing all they can to provide necessities, but still cannot meet basic needs, the church stands ready to help. If the Savior were among us in mortality today, he'd be found ministering to the needy, the suffering, the sick. Following the example may be one of the reasons President Spencer W. Kimball said, "When viewed in this light, we can see that welfare is not a program, but the essence of the gospel. It is the gospel in action. It is the crowning principle of a Christian life."
The Lord has revealed that many problems will come upon the inhabitants of the earth in the last days. He has promised, however, that if ye are prepared, ye shall not fear. We can prepare ourselves and our families for the future by becoming more self-reliant. As we become self-reliant, we will be prepared to face challenges with confidence and peace of mind. A month after the September 11th tragedy, President Gordon B. Hinckley counseled the saints about self-reliance.
"Occasions of this kind pull us up sharply to a realization that life is fragile, peace is fragile, civilization itself is fragile. The economy is particularly vulnerable. We have been counseled again and again concerning self-reliance, concerning debt, concerning thrift. So many of our people are heavily in debt for things that are not entirely necessary. When I was a young man, my father counseled me to build a modest home, sufficient for the needs of my family, and make it beautiful and attractive and pleasant and secure. He counseled me to pay off the mortgage as quickly as I could, so that come what may, there would be a roof over the heads of my wife and children. I was reared on that kind of doctrine. I urge you as members of this church to get free of debt where possible and to have a little laid aside against a rainy day. We cannot provide against every contingency, but we can provide against many contingencies. Let the present situation remind us that this we should do. As we have been continuously counseled for more than 60 years, let us have some food set aside that would sustain us for a time in case of need. But let us not panic nor go to extremes. Let us be prudent in every respect And above all, my brothers and sisters, let us move forward with faith in the living God and His beloved Son. Let us be prayerful. Let us pray for righteousness. Let us pray for the forces of good. Let us reach out to help men and women of goodwill, whatever their religious persuasion and wherever they live. Let us stand firm against evil, both at home and abroad. Let us live worthy of the blessings of heaven, reforming our lives where necessary, and looking to Him, the Father of us all. He has said, "Be still and know that I am God." Are these perilous times? They are. But there is no need to fear. We can have peace in our hearts and peace in our homes. We can be an influence for good in this world, every one of us.
The promise has been made that as we prepare ourselves and our families in the basic areas of self-reliance, many of the problems of life will be solved. We will experience serenity in the midst of upheaval, security in the midst of uncertainty, and sustenance in the midst of want. The Lord said, "All things unto me are spiritual, and not at any time have I given unto you a law which was temporal." The foundation of helping ourselves and others is love and charity. Although becoming self-reliant involves physical or temporal preparation, developing self-reliance also helps us grow spiritually. When we are well prepared, we are not only able to care for ourselves, but we can also assist others in times of need. As we give unselfishly of our means, time, and talents to help others, our love for others increases and we draw closer to the Spirit. Thank you for joining us for the Mormon Channel Relief Society program and our discussion of the June visiting teaching message, Strengthening Families Through Temporal Self-Reliance. For more information on this program or for a link to the text of the visiting teaching message, visit mormonchannel.lds.org. To share a story or an experience with the Mormon Channel, email us at mormonchannel@ldschurch.org. Thanks for listening.